and one of our favorite baseball players of all time. He is Omar Vizquel, and he is on the Fan Hotline. Oh, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys? What's going on?
Oh, good. I mean, when Ozzy passed yesterday, you were probably one of the first people I thought of. I was like, oh, man, Omar used to... I mean, you were a gigantic fan of his, right? I'm not nuts, right?
Yes, man. I remember those days where we used to go to the flat and we had a concert there. Remembering, you know, the rock and roll museum and everything. And some of us participated in the concert. And I decided to sing Ozzy Osbourne, Crazy Train, because that was one of my favorite songs. When I came up to the plate, I used to play this song, and Ozzy was one of those guys that I used to love. You know, it was great. As a matter of fact, I was going to put that video on Instagram right now because we were watching movies and videos of Ozzy Osbourne and how he passed away. And it was amazing, the kind of life that he had.
Well, you need to put it on your new website too, by the way. What is OmarVizquel13.com, right?
Yeah, that's right, man. You know, this website is a memory of my career. I try to put together some of the stats that you know, were part of my life and how I went from 0 to 11 Gold Glove and 24-year career. You know, I think it was a great job some of my friends put together, and I really love the opportunity to have it out there for everybody to take a look at it. And it's just amazing, you know, when you turn back. It's great.
OmarVizquel13.com is the place to go. The website looks great. I'll tell you, Omar, it looks great.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yeah, we spend a lot of time trying to put together some of the highlights of my career and, you know, added a little bit of the new technology. I think it was... an amazing process for us.
Omar, at the beginning of the year, you were high on Brian Rocchio. I was high on Brian Rocchio. Andy was high on Brian Rocchio, and he came out and he didn't hit, and then his fielding wasn't good. He went down to Columbus. He's been back. He's been hitting. He's been playing D. What difference do you see in the guy that I know you like a lot?
Well, I see a guy that have a little bit of confidence. His confidence back since, you know, sometimes you doubt yourself when you're in the big league and things doesn't go well for yourself. You put yourself into that square that said, wow, what about if I get sent down and I never get to be back in the big league? And I think that memory that he had in his mind is gone. I think that he belongs there. He believes in himself. And when you get that kind of confidence, then you become the player that everybody is expecting you to be.
Hmm. Oh, we're a week away from the trade deadline. I don't ever remember you being a trade deadline guy. Like, all your transactions were in the off season, weren't they?
That's right. Yeah. I never had that opportunity to be into that spot. I think it's a hard thing for a player to kind of you know, bounce from one team to another in the middle of the season. You have to start from zero again, try to get together with a bunch of new guys and get the chemistry with them. You know, it's complicated. It's a complicated thing. That's why we try to hugs and bring the guys that come into the middle of the season and try to give them the opportunity to have fun with us. We invite them to dinner. We, you know, we hang out with them and try to get them together as soon as possible so they can produce and feel comfortable for us.
But what's it like, though, that week before? I mean, you were in plenty of clubhouses where you knew guys were either on the training block or about to get traded. It's got to be, it's a weird feeling when you walk into the clubhouse and you see somebody like, oh, well, they're still here today. Oh, I didn't know if they were going to. You know, it's kind of awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really weird. You know, I take a look at the situation now. This guy, Eugenio Suarez, the guy that is with the Diamondbacks, he's leading the league in homers. And his name is bouncing around from team to team. Everybody wants to know where Eugenio Suarez is going to end up. And it's going to be hard when you're trying to lead a team and leading the league in homers that you have to deal with these kind of questions. And, you know, I feel sorry for some of those guys that really feel in that bubble. And all of a sudden you have to pack your suitcases and go somewhere else. Like I said, it's you have to try to welcome them as soon as possible and make them feel comfy.
Omar, when you're a team like the Guardians right now, though, you're 2.5 out of the wild card spot. You know, you lost 10 straight. Now you've won 10 of 12. And you know, you can see a playoff spot sitting there. Is the general feel in a clubhouse, okay, we have this and we can get this done? Or do you think players look around and think, man, we need to make some moves to get some more talent in here?
Yeah, I think that's one of the toughest spots to feel like, because you don't know if you are ready to sell or if you're ready to trade or if you're going to keep the same team together. I think, you know, when you do these meetings in the clubhouse, you have to let the team know, hey, this is what we have. We're not going to be moving people out or telling the truth, telling that we are looking for other players. We're trying to make a move. So you don't feel like you're in that bubble that we're talking about. I think that you have to know what your team needs and know what your expectations are, and then go from there. Because it's not a worse part when you're in a baseball team when you don't know when you're gonna go or if they're gonna trade you or something like that.
Oh, how much do you think managers actually manage now, and how much of it's coming down from the front office and making moves just based strictly on stats, not on any gut feeling?
Man, I wish that I can answer that question right from the clubhouse or if I'm managing a team in the little leagues in Double A or Triple A. You know, I've been away from the game for a little bit. I know that there has been a lot of emphasis on front offices on changing their team without letting the manager know. Some of these moves are made because of economic reasons, because they don't have the money to pay the players, because the projections that they have on papers doesn't really go according to what you have in the beginning of the years. So, yeah, I think the front offices, they're investing so much money in the front offices now that they're making every move as possible. And the manager is kind of just being another player. Sometimes he doesn't really have the right move because the front office wants you to put a player in front of what your plan is.
Omar, I wonder what a guy who was on some really good teams for a long time thinks about the extra playoff teams. You know, three teams now in the wild card. I've always thought baseball has too many playoff teams now because – you played 162, and you know who the better teams are, and any baseball team can get hot in a series. Do you like the extra playoff teams, or do you think that the regular season maybe should carry a little more weight as to who gets to play past the season?
Well, I think I like the extra teams. I think it put a little bit more opportunity for the lower teams that maybe don't expect to get to the playoffs, have that chance to advance. And I think it's excitement because the people that are in first place always have that expectation that they're going to go all the way. And in the past, we've seen teams get hot that they're not expecting to pass to the World Series or to the next playoff. And all of a sudden, you find that team involved on knocking the big favorites out. So I like that chance. I like the opportunity that those teams have. And I know that it's a little longer, and I think that's what makes it exciting, that the round robins are longer, and they have that opportunity.
What do you think of the Guards right now? I mean, they're a team that lost 10 in a row. Now they've come back. They won 9 of their last 11. And even in those two losses, those two games came right down to the wire. I mean, this team has kind of flipped. Part of it, I think, is schedule because they were playing some of the better teams during that losing streak, and then they're playing maybe – I don't want to say they're not good teams, but they're not – they're not at the top of the standings, the teams they've been able to take out in this last 11. Nonetheless, they're 500 with 62 games to go.
Yeah, if the playoff will start next week or maybe this week, I will feel pretty comfortable about it. The question is that the team has been playing a lot of inconsistent baseball sometimes. You know, they go into these streaks where you don't know what to do with the team and all of a sudden, wow, we have a very good chance to go to the playoff. So it's kind of confusing sometimes where you're standing. If they can go to the last month of the season playing this way, then we will say, wow, we have a really good chance to go all the way. But, you know, it's just a matter of, wow, where are we standing right now with the team? And I'm glad that they straight up a lot of things. They're playing a little bit better now, and this is the way that they have to be playing in the last month of the season.
You were on some Indians teams, Omar, that hit like absolute crazy, and you had defense to go along with it. This team doesn't hit very well. Yet it's been really pretty decent offensively here during this last stretch. Can a team go from not hitting very well, somehow flip the switch, and become a pretty good hitting team? Is it infectious, or is it just something that you got hot and you're probably going to drop back to what this team has been for most of the season? I think that's a fascinating thing about, you know, not being able to score a lot of runs, and then all of a sudden the offense has really been clicking.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, you don't know if the pitching is going to respond the way they're doing. You know, the bullpen, they have the right arms to go about it. The offense has to be doing their job at the right time. It is a combination of things. You know, there is not one area in the Guardians that we can say, okay, we can dominate in this. Like last year with the bullpen. The bullpen was amazing. You get to the sixth inning winning by one run, and 75% of the time, or 80 or 90% of the time, we have that game in our pocket. We won. But this year has been different. You know, they go into streaks where you can pitch well and you don't hit, and then you hit but you don't pitch. And that is the right combination of the whole situation to go, but it has to be done in the last month of the season. It doesn't matter how you're playing right now. If you don't get to the last month and you give that opportunity, then we're not going to go all the way.
Omar, as always, you know, we love talking to you. Hope to talk to you soon here as the baseball season heats up and the Guardians can stay in this race. OmarVizquel13.com if we want to see the new website, correct?
That's right, man. That is the new website. I want to invite everybody to take a look at it. Like I said, we went into 3 months doing little things here and there, and we continue to work with the kids down here in Venezuela. We're doing a lot of baseball clinics and talk to them about baseball and values and all that stuff. So we're doing good, man. I'm happy. I'm around my people here. And going back to the state pretty soon, but we're doing a good job here in Venezuela. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, thank you, Omar. You know, big fan. We'll always be big fans. Thank you, Omar. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, so.
Thank you, guys.
All Bye-bye. Right. OmarVizquel13.com is the place where you can check them out these days. 216-474-0092. That's the number to call in if you want to participate in the show. Man, I can't wait. 1 o'clock. Miles Garrett. Boys are back in town. Browns gathered, ready to roll, getting moving. We're not going to see pads till next week, but hey, they're here. The football season rolls on, and right now they haven't lost a game. So life is good if you're a Browns fan, at least for today. It's all about talk rather than action on the field, and we'll see that soon enough. Omar Vizquel was just with us, former Indians shortstop. His new website, OmarVizquel13. He was just with us, Mary Kay Cabot.
Website looks good.
At 10:40. Yeah, it's got that, you know, that famous play that he made at short where he's just stretched out like Spider-Man. And it's just pretty cool. That's where it starts. And there's a lot of really neat stuff.
You mean
in there.
The play he made every game?
Yeah, that would be true. Or between every inning. No one was more fun to watch in between innings than Omar Vizquel. It was like, I don't know, I can't explain. How would you explain it? Like a juggler or just making plays that you would never see? And just, it's just so much fun. And like, seriously, like you didn't want to turn away while the team was warming up. Because you would make these spectacular plays or just flip the ball here or do something like that. So it was always exciting to watch that. All right, let's get into the Guardians, Jeff, with the trade deadline knocking on the door next week. You know, there's Jeff Passan, his son, has a great story out there on ESPN talking about every team's trade deadline preview and his intel that he has on every team. And when it comes to the Guardians, his intel, and I didn't feel like this was happening a week ago. He just said that the headline for the Guardians was just how much will they subtract? And I agree with that. I think that's what most Guardians fans are saying. Are you looking at it and saying, Carlos Santana going to be gone? Is that one, Lane Thomas, could he be gone? What happens with Shane Bieber? Like, how much are they willing to give up? And who are the players they might be willing to get? And then he said that their best asset is Stephen Kwan. And I'm just kind of befuddled. That his
Andy, he's untouchable.
He is? According to?
Other reporters.
Yeah, that he's untouchable. So I'm a little intrigued by the fact that Kwan's name is just popping up left and right over the last 48, 72 hours.
I'm not. Don't ask me why. It's a weird thing to me.
Why?
Dan has mentioned, you know, some of the deep dive numbers show that Steven's not running as well as he was. That's a huge part of his game. And he's had some issues, you know, with his legs. And I have an issue that I keep looking at with him, and it's that his batting average has dropped exponentially from the beginning throughout the season this year and last. And I just wonder, I wonder if you combine those two things, that he's not running as well and that his numbers are dropping like crazy during the season for 2 years in a row, and maybe some information that they're getting when they talk to his agent, that they think, yeah, we need to trade him sooner rather than later. Now, when I say all that, man, I like having Steven Kwan on this team. I think he's terrific. He's a great left fielder, does a really nice job, and is a good leadoff hitter. I don't think he's a great leadoff hitter, but I think he's a good leadoff hitter. To me, great leadoff hitters hit 320, if people can hit 320 in this day and age. I think he's good, and I like him, and I wouldn't move him unless I got a deal I couldn't turn down. There's a team that might be able to give you that.
Dan, are you buying the whole? I mean, I know what was the number you had last year? He had a bad. What, he have a bad August last year? What'd you say before the show? You were telling me his numbers were bad.
His batting average dropped every month last season.
But he walks. I mean, he makes up for it with the fact he's got such a good eye.
Yeah,
I mean, great. He ends at bats on base 34%, or actually close to 35% of the time.
I like him. I don't want to trade him.
He did hit .381 in the playoffs last year.
Terrific, and the guy. I want him on the team. And we just laid out why his name might be in these rumors still.
Yeah,
and we hear untouchable, but his name keeps popping up. So I think it tells you.
Why am I having trouble kind of swallowing diminishing skills towards the end of the season for him, knowing that? Is it because, I mean, he's in his fourth year? I don't know. I just, when I watch this team, I have two guys I trust when they go to the plate every time. Every time. And he's one of them. And I'm not willing to walk away from that.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I mean, if he's not up there and Jose's not up there, we keep our fingers crossed. And Carlos, you can.
And you're like, oh my God, maybe it's Santana. Maybe Santana's up. And you know,
this year, for giggles,
okay,
batting average by month, and they combine April and March, mm-hmm. 322 April and March, 308 May, 244 June, 230 July. That's not the trending in the right direction you want.
No, it's not.
Last year, and again, he bounced back in the playoffs. You're right. Last year, it was not good. It's not what you're looking for. And it was the same type of thing. And I clicked on the wrong thing again by a mistake.
It's all right.
But hold on. Here you go. Last year, 350 in April and March. And then 471 in May. I mean, that was the month. Remember, he's, you know, right around 400. And everybody's thinking, can this guy hit 400? June, 374. July, 250. August, 207. September and October, 195. That's just happens once. Okay. Happens twice. Probably more than coincidence. Maybe the guy gets worn down. Maybe the guy is beat up. You know, he's not the biggest guy. Maybe his body, you know, fires back at him during the season. I don't know. All that said, Andy, I don't want to trade him.
No,
but I also don't want to let him walk away in free agency. And that's two years down the road.
I think you have another year to wait on him.
I think you're absolutely right.
And then if you're waiting out next year and they're significantly better, then you might have to think about, you know, cracking open the checkbook to keep him somewhere down the road.
Well, you load it up on outfield power hitters in this draft. I know. It's a draft. I know that. You know, last year you drafted Travis Bazzana, did not draft power hitters in the draft. You know, this year you loaded up on him. Last year you passed on Nick Kurtz. What's he have, 18 home runs? You passed on Jack Caglione. He's already up. You passed on our guy Charlie Condon, who Dan and I both wanted. I think he's in high A ball or just moved up to double A. He'd been dealing with an injury.
The ownership switch could happen in, what, 28? I think it's 28. I'm almost bought. And then that's when Kwan's an unrestricted free agent. I'll be interesting to see if the Blitzer transition happens. You know,
it still is an if.
Yeah, well, they have the option.
They have the option, yeah.
They have the option to do it. So, I mean, the Dolans could still have the team in 28 and beyond. If for some reason the Blitzers don't want to expand their minority role in the team and take over the majority role of the team. And I wonder how that affects any contract that could possibly happen in the next 2-3 years. I think you have to keep that in the back of your mind. I think it would be easier to kind of plan if you knew they were planning on doing it. But, I mean, if I were them, I wouldn't make any noise yet. I'd be like, well, when were the options there for me to take over, then I'll do it then. But until then, why would you even, you know, unless you're worried about losing a player like Stephen Kwan, if you think Stephen Kwan is a lifer. I mean, there aren't very many lifers in any sport
anymore. Well, he has to be willing to be.
I also, you know, we talk about this trade deadline thing, and Classe's name has kind of really cooled off a little bit, hasn't it?
Oh, give it about 2 hours.
You think so?
The LA Dodgers lost another
relief pitcher,
Tanner Scott.
MRI came back clean for Scott, though.
Oh!
Saying just inflammation.
There you go. You got your information back in 10 seconds.
However, inflammation in your elbow of your closer on a team that's already had huge injuries in the bullpen and thinks it can win it all. Well, what does that scream?
Aspirin cream.
No, it screams, let's go get a closer. Let's get him in here. And if we have to give up something to win a World Series, we'll do it. That was funny.
What was the other one?
Ben Gay.
Anything that can smell up the entire bus.
Ben Gay. Right?
Anything. You're like, oh, what is that smell? Flexerol is a drug. What's the other one? Why can't I think of the other one? There's another, like a salve.
I don't know. Icy Hot?
It's not, Icy Hot is one, but there's another. There's a local company. Yeah. There's one on a can. I can't remember. It's super famous, and now I just... my mind just can't get there. Do we think they're making a move or not? I think...
Yes, they will make some kind of a move. Don't ask me if they're buying or selling.
You know what's going to happen on Monday, right? Or no, trade deadline is 31st, right? So that gives us till, what, next Thursday?
Yes, sir.
Next Thursday. Next Friday, the press conference with Chris Antonetti is going to be like this. Well, we got Shane Bieber back. It's just like making a trade. There you have it. I've already looked into the future.
It's an assumption.
Fair?
Well, do you know you have Shane Bieber back?
I'm just saying that it'll be Bieber any chance Bazzana with 3 doubles last night? Any chance we see him the last month of the season? We've taken him out of the Arizona cage, right?
That would be very sweet. I just don't think that's the case. This is the Cleveland Guardians we are talking about. It's the opposite of the Cleveland Browns in that they have a plan and they follow it.
It's like we willed him to have a great night last night. Yesterday we were talking about, like, you know, we should be talking about Bazzana right now, shouldn't we? And then, boom, look what he's been doing. There's also a little taste of Akron.
To a silly degree.
Dodgers' other relief pitcher left with an injury, Ben Kasperius. Now, his name had been kind of in trade rumors. But you know, if they're down a couple of relief pitchers, guys, I'm not advocating trading Emmanuel Clase. I'm not.
I don't know. Maybe you bring Bazzana up. That makes Kwan happy. The whole Oregon connection there.
Oregon State.
Right?
Oregon State.
It's same state. The state of Oregon, dude. State of Oregon. I'm not talking about whether it's Oregon State or Oregon.
Well, dude's from Australia.
Doesn't matter.
The dude's from California.
You don't understand the influence of living in the Northwest.
Look, there's a tree.
There you go. Exactly. But you can understand it better if you've lived in Northern Idaho or
Travis,
Oregon.
I'm Stephen.
Western
Welcome
Washington
to Tree City.
Eastern Washington.
We are home. This is the Forest City. We are home.
If you can understand that travel through the rolling hills of the Palouse to get into the fine herbal essence of life in the United States and the Great Northwest.
Why did they make that shampoo green? I remember shampoo.
You just use soap. Is that it? You still have a little left there. You can still use some shampoo on that. So the bottle might last a couple years, but that's okay. Jeff's got hair. He's got some.
That 99
he's got crew.
That 99 cent shampoo does last a long time, boy.
He's got a bottle of crew from like 1994. Still working. You just need a little dab. Little dab. Chris Rose is going to join us at 12:20.
Never liked you.
Let's talk more about what the Guardians should be doing, what they should be thinking, and what direction you want them to go in. 216-474-0092. Browns enter camp in Berea as well. So trade deadline coming up on the 31st. You got 62 games left on the year. What are you doing? Are you trading? Are you saying, you know what? Let's just go. Let's just forget about it. You still feel like, you know, if your goal for the season was to win the Central, you're still 9 games back on that. And the wild card, you know, as much as we might want to, you know, turn our nose up to the fact that there's 3 wild card teams now instead of 2, the Guardians are still, what, only they're 3.5 back on the second wild card spot. Now they're, what, 5.5 back on the number 1 behind the Yankees in that situation. But that's not where you need to get to. They need to get to where Boston is, and they're 2.5 back on Boston right now. So I'm kind of okay where they are. I still don't think you're going to have 5 guys hitting, you know, under 200 in a couple weeks. I can't see all of these guys still staying that cold. I hope. I don't want to trade Stephen Kwan. I don't want to trade Emmanuel Clase. And
you don't want to trade anything that could actually bring you something back. That's the dilemma here.
Yeah,
that's the dilemma. If this team is going to trade anything, what are you going to trade? I would think you trade top prospects, but do you want to trade top prospects? I think
for what? That's the other question. Yes, I want a bat. Yes, I do. I need one. Can you give me an outfield bat? I'll take one. Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very little.
I don't know. So they're in this. We are in like this weird space as far as baseball is concerned.
Do you think this team this year is worth trading future assets to bring in a player like they did last year with Lane Thomas? Is that worth it?
If it's at a spot of abundance, right?
What is that?
That you feel like I don't know. I don't know.
Pitching?
Maybe.
That's how this team has stayed competitive for years.
Do you trade one of the bullpen guys for someone's secondary bat or someone's best bat major league ready right now?
No.
Someone who's ready right now. They just need the pitches. They need the work in the bigs, and they might be the perfect fit for you in the outfield where you can get somebody who can come in here and hit 260. Okay, I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, see, but that why would you trade somebody who you think might be really good for somebody who can hit 260?
Because we've got 5 guys hitting under 200,
which is my point. I don't know if a 260 hitter gets it done for you.
What are you doing? Are you standing pat? Are you making a move? Are you standing pat? And
you're not going to like what I'm
saying. Who's expendable? I know what you're going to say. You are totally going to depress me, and you're going to say, you know what? Let Carlos go. Let some of these guys go. Let's bring some younger guys in.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Let's plan for the future.
No, I'm not going to do that either. I'm going to say this. Somebody calls you and they want Emmanuel Clase and they make it worth your while, you trade Emmanuel Clase. But they've got to make it really worth your while. If somebody wants Stephen Kwan, I think, okay, I have 2 guys that I really like at the plate. Are you going to give me 1 back and then 2 or 3 assets that I can bank on moving forward? You know, there's been a rumble about Dodgers wanting both Class A and Kwan, and trading both of them to the Dodgers. Man, you could get a haul. But, you know, their number one prospect is a left-handed hitting outfielder. He's in high A ball right now. So he's not helping you now.
No.
There are no other bats that, if you're trying to get into the playoffs this year and you're 2.5 games back from the wild card, so why wouldn't you be? That doesn't help you.
Jeff, what are you saying to your fans, too? If you let Clase and Kwan go for minor leaguers, I don't care how high a prospect they are.
What are you saying? You're saying that we don't have the belief in this team that it can get into the playoffs and then do some damage. Remember how many games out? Remember the White Sox team 15 years ago? It was like 3.5 games out.
And they started making moves.
And they just dumped everybody.
Well, I brought this up yesterday.
Weren't they like 3.5?
What the Guardians were, or at the time the Indians were, only 4 back when they traded Bartolo Colon. You remember that?
Yeah, and look how that trade worked out.
Still.
You got Grady Sizemore in that deal.
That was it.
You got Brandon Phillips, who was a really good player, just not here. You got Cliff Lee, didn't you?
You got Lee Stevens.
You got Cliff Lee. Cy Young Award winner. Wasn't Cliff in that deal?
I remember they did a couple deals. Now you got me.
Dan's saying yes.
Cliff was in that
deal? They got 4 guys, if I'm not mistaken. Grady,
and that's true,
Brandon
because
Phillips, Cliff
because
Lee,
Montreal knew
Lee
they
Stevens.
Were moving, and they were doing a fire sale, and they just wanted to make one last great run in Montreal. That's what that was about.
I mean, that was seen as being arguably the greatest trade in baseball history. So,
because you got some talent.
Can you pull that off again? Probably not.
Cliff Lee, Brandon Phillips, Lee Stevens, Grady Sizemore.
Yeah, it's amazing.
You got them all.
What's crazy is I remember Lee Stevens being in that deal and not Cliff Lee. Lewis and Shaker. Lewis, what's up, man?
Hi,
how
Lewis.
Are you?
Being Phelps, you don't do a thing. Okay, I was playing the schedule game.
Okay.
Starting with Baltimore, it's cake. I'm like, okay, the next 35, 40 games, we should go 25-15. Starting with Baltimore. Now, we already started early, and we swept the Astros. So, don't do a thing. I think we can get in. Seriously. Don't trade Kwan.
You don't want to bring anybody in. You're not. I mean, if you could upgrade at a position, you wouldn't do it.
No,
maybe you give up one reliever.
Okay, I mean, one reliever as long as it's not Class A.
Okay.
I mean, just to me, we just need to sit tight. Sit tight. Play it out. As a matter of fact, what we got 2 more games with Baltimore. I would not be surprised if we take the next 2 games. And then who do we have after that? The White Sox or somebody like that?
What do we got after that?
I think it might be the A's.
Yeah. I'm playing them one at a time. I don't know.
I think we can take 2 out of 3 from the A's.
It's Kansas City. We don't see the A's. Are we done with the A's? Yeah, we're done with the A's.
Who is it? Kansas City?
Who do we have next? Kansas City, yeah. And then Colorado. And then Minnesota. Minnesota's going to be a big series. They're giving away. That's a Jersey weekend.
Sit tight. I think this team is good enough to get into the playoffs.
Lewis,
all we need to do is just get in.
Lewis, what if the phone rings and a team offers you so much that you can't believe it for Emmanuel Clase?
Okay, well, if it's so much I can't believe, of course.
All right, see, that's where I am. I don't want to trade him. I don't want to trade Kwan. But if somebody calls and that team thinks that they are that player away from having a chance to win the whole thing, and they're going to make it worth your while. And that's where I'd say yes. But I'm with you. The guys are hitting better. I don't think they're a good hitting team, but they're hitting better. And maybe that carries them for a little while. Unless you get your socks knocked off, I'm not going to make a move.
Will Smith's making in that deal, man. That's all I can say.
And we got to stop making other teams better than us, man. No.
All right, Lewis.
Thank you, Lewis.
Lewis and Shaker, thank you. From Shaker to their arch rival, Cleveland Heights. Anthony.
Hello, how are you guys?
Good.
All right, good. I'll tell you, by the way.
Okay,
so a Guardians fan first here. Just wanted to make a maybe a larger comment regarding trades and so forth. I'm a bigger Guardians fan. I have friends who are obviously bigger Browns fans. That's the nature of the city. And when the Deshaun Watson deal came to fruition, what was interesting was that my friends who are bigger Browns fans were the ones who were reticent about the deal because of what was being given up. I looked at it and I said, well, what the heck? We're a player or a quarterback away and this could work out. They were thinking long term and thinking this is way too much to give up for a very unknown situation. So it's paradoxical, I think, a little bit when sports fans suggest that it is the most ardent fans of a particular team who are more likely to go for it, when they're the ones who are more likely to say, wait a minute here, let's be a little cautious. And I think you guys do bring this up, but I just wanted to drive that point home. It's very easy for the average fan, maybe for the average Clevelander who's not as big a Guardians fan, to say, well, let's trade Class A because we got Cade Smith and it'll be okay. And a more knowledgeable baseball fan, well, wait a minute. Class A, I mean, Cade Smith throws heat, and the Yankees mash heat, and he's younger. So are you really prepared to get rid of maybe the best reliever in the game and put Cade Smith in Game 7 of the ALCS against the New York Yankees? I mean, God bless you if you are, but I don't know about that calculation.
All right.
So that's the only thing I'll say there. Go ahead.
No, I got to get going here. One quick point. Go. You got one more.
Oh, no. To tie this in, I agree with Jeff. If somebody's going to blow me away, I'm listening to trades for anybody.
I think we all kind of feel the same way. Yep. Anthony, thank you. We appreciate the phone
call. Thank you, Anthony.
216-474-0092. Chris Rose is going to join us in the next hour of Baskin and Phelps. Let's continue on, though, talking a little bit more about the Guardians. And, hey, the Browns are back in town, my friends. They are. They are in Berea, and we are looking forward to that 1 o'clock hour where we should hear from Miles Garrett.